Boys Day.
You said that very stoogey. Very stoogey.
Thank you very much.
Hi, guys. Spill off. It's Wendy Snyder. This is the bonus hour. All the kids are talking about it. Now you're in the club. Congrats.
This is like our audio clubhouse.
Sure is. We're like the funny company.
The funny company.
And you can join for free. Kids of every neighborhood belong. Come on, you can do it.
I don't know all that.
Oh, that's sad. Do you remember how it ended? Yeah, with that guy making that scary noise. That was spooky.
Do you remember this?
Here we come. Walk down the street. Get funniest looks from everyone we meet.
Yes, I do, Wendy.
Hey,
hey, hey, they're the Monkees. We found out earlier today that Peter Tork, one of the Monkees, is no longer with us.
The oldest
of the Monkees.
Yeah, I didn't realize that either. He didn't look like the oldest, but he was, in fact, when they were put together. Peter Tork, the bassist for the 1960s rock favorites, the Monkees. Rock favorites, I guess. That was pop before pop was a term.
Well, it's tricky because they were put together because of the success of the Beatles. They were put together to try to kind of emulate what happened in Hard Day's Night, right? So Hard Day's Night was a huge hit, and they went, let's do a version of that on TV with an American band, a mostly American band. Davy Jones is British. But without the Beatles, you'd never have the Monkees. But I mentioned this with Dean. What happened was they cast it so well that they actually sounded really good together. They really were very, very, very talented.
So Peter was
it Don Kirshner who produced the Monkees? Am I wrong on that?
I think you're right.
I think Don Kirshner's Rock Concert, I think, was the producer of that show.
Tork's Monkees bandmate Mickey Dolenz confirmed the news on Twitter, writing, "There are no words right now. Heartbroken over the loss of my monkey brother, Peter Tork."
That's how I refer to my brother, too, by the way.
But you spell monkey differently.
Yes, I do.
When referring to your
brother. I'd like you to meet my monkey brother, Adam.
Tork's cause of death is not yet public, though he was diagnosed with a rare tongue cancer, adenoid cystic carcinoma, in 2009.
Mm.
So he has been battling that for 10 years.
Yeah.
But we spoke to him, was it?
It was before Christmas.
Of this year? I thought it was last year. I thought we were in the other studios.
Mm-mm, we were here.
Along with Davy Jones, Mickey Dolenz, and Michael Nesmith, Tork was a founding member of the Monkees, a fictitious... A fictitious pop group that was formed for the television sitcom of the same name that aired from 1966 to 1968. That's it?
Yeah, that was it. You know what I thought was the coolest about them in that show was that they could ride their motorcycles inside. Like when I would watch that on a Saturday morning, the Monkees, I just thought, imagine a world where your mom couldn't tell you, hey, take that motorcycle outside. You can't be riding your motorcycle in the house. I just thought that was so cool that they did that.
Did that inspire you to move out?
No, I bought a motorcycle and rode it inside.
It was a mini bike, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it was more a mini bike than a motorcycle. But I just thought, boy, that's the true scent of success when you have that kind of power. No one can stop me.
Do you know that the Monkees were one of the highest charting acts of the late 60s?
Yes, I do.
I know. I'm almost 100% positive that Last Train to Clarksville, Glenn Campbell's playing banjo on that. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure.
It would make sense because he was a sessions musician at that time. So probably he did did stuff with other similar bands.
But Peter played the banjo as well.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I will look into that. Tork left the group and TV show in 1968. Teaming back up with Jones and Dolenz in 1986 for a successful 20th anniversary tour. In the years after, Peter Tork mostly played with the groups Peter Tork Project and Shoe Suede Blues.
Oh, like the name. Was their song called, their reunion song, was it That Was Then, This Is Now? Was that the song that they put back out there when three out of the four of them reunited?
I don't have that.
I seem to think that was it. That Was Then, This Is Now.
In 2016, just a couple of years ago, the Monkees released Good Times, their first album in 20 years, and their first since Davy died in 2012. That's when I thought we talked to him, in 2016.
No, it was real recently.
77 years old, Peter Tork. That's really sad. And they have tours that were coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Mickey and Peter and sometimes Mike and right. sometimes not.
He was mostly, like, when they were in and around California, he was part of it. And every once in a while, he would do it. Mike Nesmith would do it when they went elsewhere, but he liked to stay close to home. There's no way to test for this. This is just a theory of mine. I bet if you counted the lines, and the only people who do this is if you're in a grade school play, but if you counted the lines that each of the four monkeys had combined on episodes of the monkeys, Peter not only had the least, but by a lot. He was always in the scenes. He just didn't, they just didn't give him much to say or do in most episodes.
That's okay. I'm telling you, I had such a crush on him. He had just had great hair for back then.
Sure.
I know Cousin Oliver had that same haircut later, and it didn't work for him.
It was just bangs in every direction. You had bangs in front, on
it
the sides, kinda, in the back.
Yeah.
Right? Do you remember the episode? This was the most haunting of all Monkees episodes, and I didn't understand it the first time I saw it as a kid, and then later learned more about it. But the episode where Peter sold his soul to the devil to be successful.
I do remember that one.
I later found out, because I was haunted by that episode, because it was very dark by Monkees episode standards, that it was a reworking of Faust, of Selling Your Soul, which really, for the average Monkees viewer, I don't know, Monkees fan, when the Monkees came out there, I thought their fan base would be mid-teens. And probably didn't have a working understanding of Faust or Selling Your Soul to the Devil for success. But I remember seeing that as a kid and being very spooked by it.
I do remember that.
Weird episode.
I just loved looking at him. I thought he was, you know, the sexy silent type. Because he didn't really talk very much. It was weird when he did. It's like, wait, I want to hear his voice.
Right.
What does it sound like?
Peter's talking. Hey, other monkeys, Peter's talking. Yeah, it was strange.
It was such a silly, stupid show, but...
Do you remember who used to stop by a lot?
Paul Lind.
I don't think Paul Lind did.
I don't know.
All right, so two names come to mind immediately of people who are just in the monkey's orbit, and if you watch the show, they would just be by the monkey house sometimes.
The monkey house.
Rose Marie.
Really?
Yeah, Rose Marie was frequently on the monkeys. And then, now this one you might not know who it is until you saw him, and then you'd know who it was. Do you know who Carl Ballantyne was? He was a comedian slash magician. I'm trying to think of where you'd know him from. He was like a frequent guest on like the Merv Griffin show, but he was always on the Monkees involved in some plot line that the Monkees were involved in.
He and
Rose Marie.
Carl
Ballantyne. Ballintine.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day to you.
Oh, yeah.
You know who that guy is? Kind of whitish hair. Usually well-dressed and kind of a tuxedo-y look. He was a magician slash comedian.
He was a magician?
Yeah. The Great Ballantyne. Yeah.
Well, he had to be a magician with that name.
Right. What else
the Great Left is not
no,
as good
no
as the
gonna,
Great Ballantyne.
No one's
going
to buy that.
Ballantyne.
Yeah.
He's still working.
He would be 100 if he's still working.
He did something last year.
Did he really?
He was born in 1917 in Chicago, Illinois. He's 92.
Not if he was born in 19... Oh, yeah, 1917? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm reading it.
Wait,
oh, no, it's not that.
Oh, that sounds just like me, Wendy. Great impression.
Do you know, I just have to laugh. I don't know if you did this with your brother when you were growing up, but when my kids, like, bicker, they do... It's like, they say the same thing you just said to me. Oh, that doesn't even sound like me.
If you're going to do an impression, I'm easy to do. That didn't even sound a little bit
no
like me.
No one can do your impression.
You could do it. Anyway.
He is part of the Motley Crue, commandeered by Ernest.
He was in Motley Crue?
Borgnine on the popular 60s series McHale's Navy.
Yes.
Tall, gangly, beady-eyed, bulb-nosed comic actor Carl Ballantyne was better known in other parts as the ultimate magician billed as the Amazing Ballantyne.
Yeah.
The Great Ballantyne and Ballantyne. Thanks for telling us, IMDb.
So if you're going to book him, you have the option of him being the Great Ballantyne... The Magnificent Ballantyne?
Amazing.
Just Ballantyne?
No, Ballantyne, the world's greatest magician.
Oh.
He made a comedy career out of being inept.
Yeah, his tricks never worked. That was his thing.
It worked.
He tried to make something happen. Look, there's a rat. Oh, there's no rabbit. Where's the rabbit? Bullwinkle also did that.
Hey, let me pull the rabbit out of my hat.
That sounds more like me than the me impression you did.
In 2007, actor-magician Steve Martin presented Carl with the Lifetime Achievement Fellowship from the Magic Castle in Hollywood.
Cool. That's excellent. I didn't know that. That's great.
He was born in Chicago.
Carl Ballantyne?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
1917, he became fascinated by the magic tricks his barber used to show him at a young age.
Yikes. That sounds strange. I don't want my barber doing magic tricks. Just cut my hair off, please. Make my hair disappear.
The magic is he doesn't cut your ear off.
Right.
But yeah, so he used to show up on the monkeys
a
lot.
And I'm trying to think if there was anyone else that was on frequently. Like, there were guest stars that would just do an episode or two. But for some reason, Rose Marie and Carl Ballantyne were always in the neighborhood. They were always showing up and involved in the plot lines of those shows.
That's a crazy combination.
I've only met... Which monkey did I not... I've interviewed three out of the four. Mike Nesmith remains the one that just seems unaccessible for some reason. But they've all been very, very nice. All three of those guys seem very grateful, you know?
And we loved him. I mean, I am remembering...
when we interviewed him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was like, because I remember now off the air, we're like, why is he thanking us?
He was very, very grateful that we spent time with him. Had a good sense of humor. Didn't seem like... You said he was in his 70s. He didn't
He's 77
seem,
when seven, he passed away.
Does he seem...
No, but do we seem 65? We're not.
We're not.
So.
No.
I'm telling you, 70 is the new 50. Mm. There are so many people... I mean, all your rock and rollers are in their 70s now.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it? The classics.
Yeah, like the Stones.
The remaining classics. Right.
Robert Plant, all these people have to be...
At least 70.
Yes.
And many times older. Carl Ballantyne.
I have some news.
What? Oh, is it going to be sad news, Jasmine?
Lindy was right. It was 2016 that you guys interviewed
Peter. Tork?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we talked to him about that tour.
Right.
I totally remember a couple months ago. You're getting Wendy disease. At least you remember what you talk about, but I remember, that was a few years ago. You thought it was 2 months ago, before Christmas. Technically, it was. It was before two Christmases ago. Yeah, we were at the old studio. I totally remember talking to him.
Can that be right?
Oh, my G. Yes.
It doesn't seem that long ago to me. It seems like it just happened.
Go to WGNradio.com, click on the Bill and Wendy podcast, and then click
Find
search and Peter Tork. That's what Jasmine did.
It's actually on the front page. So
how did that happen?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because that was big news when we did it in 2016.
We're on the front page, though.
Oh, it's on the front page today because he died.
Yeah.
See? But I'm going to listen to it.
I don't think we've ever been on the front page before. That's exciting news.
More musicians, that's the answer to that. Get Carl Ballantyne, too.
Do you know, I almost called the Tribune a couple of days ago. This is so... As I'm saying it, I'm going, this is so stupid. But listen to this. Every once in a while, I think of a headline, like a twist on whatever's happened in the news, and then I say to myself, because I look at the Sun-Times and the Tribune, and I see their headline, and I go,
That's
an okay headline, but the one I thought of is it's better. So I wonder if I ever called them, if they would use my headline. So this
you can't just call them. People that do that job.
I know that. That's what prevented this whole thing from happening.
Hello, Tribune. This is Bill Leff.
When the news broke about Manny Machado not being with the White Sox, signing with the San Diego Padres, I thought, I'm going to call the headline people over there at the Tribune and say, here's the headline you guys should use tomorrow. Machado about nothing.
Much ado about nothing. That's pretty good.
But use, okay.
And so in print, it would work better than...
It would work way better in print than
that's
saying
the best
it.
I've ever heard.
So just a little separation between the Mach and the Otto, and then about nothing. And then a picture of, obviously, him not being a White Sox, right? And I went, this is so good. But then as I go to dial information to get the Tribune, and then I go, if I was them, I would hang up on me so fast. I would just go, yeah, keep thinking of headlines. Spend your day thinking of wacky headlines.
And then they'd use
it. Call us back.
They'd say that to you, but then they'd...
You think they would still use it?
Stop the presses!
Somebody would yell, stop. I've always wanted somebody to yell that. That would be so cool.
But I wonder if they accept outside solicitations for headlines, if anyone's ever done that before.
Well, I know how you can maybe make that happen. I think each and every day you should take the headlines from the Sun-Times and Tribune, do it on the air here.
See if I can top their headlines?
Yes, and then we can send them that, and then ultimately you may be their go-to headliner. You could be a headliner again.
That's cool.
And plus, it would be a good radio bit. So why don't you do it? You don't have to do it every day.
I wouldn't do it every day, and I'm not...
Big stories, you should.
Well, no, because most of the big stories are sad. Like, this is one we were sad that he wasn't a member of the White Sox, but nobody got killed in it. Nobody died in it.
That's sad. Believe me. Move along. Let's go.
But, I mean, if it's some sad story, I don't want to come up with a wacky headline and go, look, it's more... My twist on this is a little different than yours. But I thought, you know, for something like that... Maybe they would use it, you know? And I wouldn't, I'm not doing it for the money, Wendy. I know that these headline writers make billions of dollars. I'm not looking for billions of dollars.
It
would just be cool to put, like, I would hang that up somewhere and go, look at, remember that day? That headline? I thought of that. That'd be excellent.
Well, that's, again, what you should use social media for. That's what Jeff Hoover does. There was some Jesse Smollett one that I cannot remember for the life of me. I'm going to look it up. Mm. But he'll just do his own wacky headlines. Mm-hmm. Do it on the air. Take what they have. And you don't have to do it every day, but when you see it, like this Manny Machado thing, and it moves you to say, I got a better one.
Then do it.
Do it on the air. We'll compile a tape. We'll send it to the Tribune.
A demo tape of headlines?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm pretty sure we have connections.
At the Trib?
Yeah, I'm sure they could get you the number to call so they can block it. They can block your number.
Seriously, that's exactly what they would do. What's the number? Yeah, it's Bill. Don't pick up. Just
they
do not pick up.
Take your first couple ones.
But wouldn't it be honest, wouldn't it be kind of a thrill to see on the front page of a major metropolitan newspaper, your Chicago Tribune, the headline be the words that you thought? Wouldn't that be kind of a cool thing? I would be impressed if a friend of mine said, hey, I thought of this headline and they used it. Look, when I was in school, there was a rumor that if you thought of a good wacky package, you could send that to them and they would pay you for it. There was a kid in our school, Tony Parison, who demanded that Three Muskrat Ears was his idea. I don't know if it's true or not, but he demands that it was his idea. So this would be my Three Muskrat Ears.
Well, I can't find Jeff Hoover's one.
What was his about?
Jussie Smollett.
Oh, was it?
It wouldn't surprise me if Jussie Smollett is tonight's masked singer. That's one of them. That's not
funny.
A headline.
That's good, though.
Oh, this is stupid. This is it. Smollett, you dealt it.
That's very funny.
I'm not sure the Tribune
would put that as their headline. I'm pretty sure they wouldn't. Maybe.
I'm just saying. Jeff Hoover does it
on his
Facebook page.
He's working on it. Right. He's heading.
You can do it on our show, and yours will be even better, I imagine.
Right. I'll see if I can do that. All right. We'll take a break. Kim Gordon will join us and give you the news, and then there's more show. It's Bill Leffin and it's Wendy Snyder on WGN. Were you a Monkees fan, Kim?
You know.
Not really?
Not much. I don't know much about the Monkees.
Hmm.
I just know, hey, hey, with the Monkees.
Yeah.
That's all
people say we monkey around,
yeah,
but they're too busy singing to put anybody down. It's words to live by. We should all live by those words.
No question.
I'm so busy singing, I can't put people down.
Singing and eating bananas.
That's the perfect life.
Yeah.
This was strange, but I think I remember this correctly. Mid-1960s, the Monkees show was on in prime time. I want to say on ABC.
Mid-60s?
I think it was ABC. Yeah.
See, that? I
must have been...
I was a little young then. Maybe that's why I don't remember it.
I think I was 3 or 4 when it was on in primetime.
Okay.
But then, like, the next year, when it wasn't on in primetime anymore, it was on Saturday mornings. And I don't know if it was new episodes that they showed on Saturday mornings or if they just took that shit, you know, the
It only
the regular,
ran for two
ran for
years.
Two seasons.
Didn't they have a cartoon also, or no?
I don't remember a Monkees cartoon.
No? Okay, maybe.
I don't remember that. But it's very unusual for a show to go from primetime to Saturday mornings, like, the next season. Usually time passes, and then you would throw it on a Saturday morning. But not with the Monkees. They kept a high profile.
It was definitely geared to... like
teenagers,
young teens,
yeah,
right?
yeah
I watched it
because weren't they kind of Beatle-y, like
very much so
that them kind of like the second Beatles,
American Beatles,
yeah
but they still were savvy enough to have one British member, Davy Jones,
right? Davy Jones was the only name I knew.
Mm.
Vic Tayback was on the Monkees.
Vic Tayback, I remember on the Monkees. Not all.
Three episodes. Chooch was his name.
Played Chooch.
I'm just looking at all the guest stars. Rip Taylor was Glick in two episodes.
Did all the guest stars have funny names like Chooch and Glick?
Yeah.
That's what it takes to be a monkey.
Yep. But they show Rosemarie, right? And they show Carl Ballantyne.
I'm looking. You'd probably know more of these names than I would.
Guaranteed.
Yeah. William Billy Benedict.
I don't know who Billy Benedict is.
I don't see anybody that I recognize.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg? Was she ever on there?
No.
She was the wacky neighbor on a couple episodes.
But see, now my sister's older than I am, and she watched it, so I think that's why I watched it. Because that was her, like, you know, I was younger, but she was more of a teenager then, so she watched it, and I was like, oh, look at the monkeys. Peter's so cute.
Yeah. That whole opening sequence was very weird, like where they went to the beach, and they'd run out into the water, and then all four of them would decide the water's too cold, and they'd run back on the sand.
I don't remember.
Or they'd be walking with their arms interlinked on the beach. It was all...
Lon Chaney Jr. was in one episode.
Was he?
He played Lenny.
Lonnie played Lenny.
Yeah.
You know who that is, right?
Cam, yeah.
From horror movies. Lon Chaney Jr. played the Wolfman.
Ruth Buzzy was in an episode.
Ruth
she played
Buzzy.
Mrs. Weatherstone.
Maybe she was the weird neighbor.
Oh, I didn't know
Mike
Ruth
Farrell...
From MASH.
Was in one episode. He was Agent Modell.
He would have been very young then.
Yeah. It was 1967.
Yeah.
I still don't
That's
see
impressive.
Nancy Walters.
Nancy Walters. I don't know who that is. I was going to say Nancy Walker.
That's who I thought it was, but it isn't. Never mind. No. But it's Nancy Walters. I got her confused.
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. You should look at these names because you'd know them better than me. I do not see the...
Rosemarie?
Mm-mm.
Maybe she was uncredited. Every once in a while, somebody will do for reasons I never understand. Like Bill Murray in Tootsie, he's uncredited. His name's not in the credits for some reason. That happens every once in a while, and I never know why.
I don't understand that either.
I would want credit if I showed up and I was in something. Put my name in the credits.
Pat Paulson?
Yes. I do remember Pat Paulson on that.
Kim doesn't remember
Pat
Paulson.
Do you know Pat Paulson?
No.
Stand-up comedian, very, very slight... every 4 years, he would run for president without the intention of being the president. He knew he wasn't going to be.
He was on Laughing a lot.
Smothers Brothers.
Yeah, he was always
on Smothers Brothers. He also used to do a thing on all the talk shows where he would claim that he could walk across water, and they had a water tank, and he somehow did it. It was obviously a trick. They had something in
glass
the water.
Up on the top
something. But that was the thing he did for a long time, Pat Paulson, able to walk on water.
Carl Ballantyne, one episode.
That's it?
Mm-hmm. So now we're getting down to the one episode on the Monkees television show, which ran for 2 years.
It seemed like he was always in there.
Queenie Smith.
I don't know Queenie Smith.
I don't either.
But I like her work.
Charlie Callis was on one episode.
Oh, that's perfect. Do you know who that is, Kim?
I know the name, yeah.
He's a comedian who only made noises. He didn't really tell jokes and stuff. He would just stand there and he'd go, what, like that, and
people would
loved
laugh.
It was funny.
The craziest thing you ever saw.
He had goofy faces. It was funny.
He would put his hands in his pockets, and then his jacket wouldn't fit, so he'd pull them out, and he'd hurt himself, he'd knock himself in the head with it. It was like the stupidest thing you ever saw.
But it made you laugh.
God, it was funny. He was also on, do you remember Charlie Callis used to be on the show Switch, Wendy? There was a detective
Albert?
Show, yeah.
And Robert Wagner?
Yeah. And Charlie Callis was on that.
I did not know that. Paul Mazursky.
Oh, the director.
He was an actor and then a director. He was a TV interviewer in an episode of The Monkees.
Paul Mazursky's greatest work is probably, remember An Unmarried Woman with Jill Clayburgh? He directed that.
Foster Brooks was on an episode of The Monkees.
Oh, he's a Louisville guy, Foster Brooks.
Foster Brooks. He's the guy, all right, so he used to show up on all those shows where they were like roasts, like the Dean Martin Celebrity Roast. He was always drunk quote-unquote, and would make fun of the fact that he was drunk. And then in the later years of his life, he felt so bad about that he went around to schools, to high schools, grade schools, and colleges, and told people about how dangerous it is to drink. Yeah. Wow. Spent years and years and years.
I don't think he ever really drank that much.
No, it was an act.
You know, he was from Louisville, and he did a lot of very nice things for the community.
Did he?
Yeah, he used to host this big charity golf tournament.
Oh, that's excellent.
Went to, like, the Children's Hospital, and
he did
a lot of really nice things in the community.
But what an about face from a guy who was the poster child
for being his living that way.
A fun drunk to go, no, please don't drink. It's horrible for you.
I'm a fun drunk, too. Bobby Sherman was on
An
episode of The Monkees. I had such a crush on him.
I know who he was, but I don't.
He was a teen heartthrob.
Totally.
Remember on The Partridge Family, they tried to do a spinoff. Or no, actually, they did do a spinoff. He had a show for a year. I don't remember the name of it, but Bobby Sherman. Yeah, Bobby Sherman played another musical act that they were going to represent. That Reuben Kincaid was going to represent.
Yeah, I do remember this.
It was called. I think the show was called like.
I can't look it up.
What would it be called?
Liberace was also on an episode of The Monkees.
Wow.
Love Liberace.
Let me just finish and I can look that up. I still haven't seen the woman. Burgess Meredith was on an episode. He played the penguin. He's uncredited.
They had great guests.
And Frank Zappa.
Great guests. Frank Zappa.
Played the part of Mike Nesmith on one episode of The Monkees, uncredited.
Isn't Frank Zappa also involved? The Monkees did a movie called Head, which I think Jack Nicholson directed,
I think you're right.
So I think Frank Zappa had something to do with that movie. He either produced it or helped with the soundtrack.
I think you're right.
There was some tie-in with Frank Zappa and the Monkees for Head. Which, by the way,
this uncredited thing for a second.
Yeah.
Why would an actor do that? I mean, does that mean maybe they don't get residuals? If
maybe they didn't get paid, or maybe they weren't originally in the.
The story I always heard with Bill Murray from Tootsie, where he's not just in it; he's a huge part of that movie.
I'm trying to remember.
They wanted it to be a surprise. He's the character Dustin Hoffman's character's roommate in the movie.
Oh, okay.
So. They wanted it to be a surprise that he was in the movie, so they didn't want to put him in the credits. But if you're seeing the credits to the movie, you've already seen the movie. You know that he was in it.
Right.
You know?
Getting Together was the name of Bobby Sherman spinoff from The Partridge Family.
I'm
going to
say Bobby Sherman and an actor named Wes Stern.
Mm-hmm.
Is he the guy? Yeah.
He was Lionel Poindexter.
Yeah, Lionel Poindexter.
And Bobby Sherman played the part of Bobby Conway, and it didn't really work.
No, it was only on for a year.
And Reuben was their agent? Is that where it
came? Well, that was the bridge from the Partridge Family that in one episode, Reuben wanted the Partridges to meet his potential next client.
Got it.
But it wasn't good.
It wasn't good. And, you know,
there was a little girl on the show, too, that Lionel Poindexter and Bobby Sherman cared for, but I don't remember her name.
The things you remember, Susan Nager.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And Pat Carroll.
Pat Carroll was in it. Do you know who she is?
No.
Kind of a grayish, I'm trying to think of who I can compare it to. Almost Kay Ballard-y. Very Kay Ballard-y.
She doesn't know who Kay Ballard is.
Oh.
Bill, I just.
Kim's younger than we are.
Well, and I'm just like in awe of Bill and his whole. Everything.
Oh, don't be in awe.
No, I am in awe. And when you watch a show, like, did you only watch these shows one time and you can remember?
A lot of them were just one time. I would always watch the credits for some weird reason. I'd always stay and watch the credits and just want to know who did what.
You were a weird little kid who grew into a weird little man.
I stay at the end of our show and watch the credits.
Look at his wealth of knowledge.
That's the only wealth I have. If I had only put it to better use. Ah, whatever.
It is impressive.
Who needs
it? Yeah, I mean, you have to have some kind of, like...
Yeah, let's hear this.
Excuse?
No. What is it called when what's the memory where you see something once if you could...
Like a photographic memory?
Yeah, photographic memory.
My wife has accused me of being an idiot savant, but without that savant part. Because that's the best part of it for you. None of that stupid savant stuff getting in the way.
it's pretty impressive.
It is.
Tell me the name.
Because you love something so much that you just like poured yourself into.
I don't know. I just wanted to know all this. I don't know. It doesn't. This is like the only job where this could pay off. Like I can't think of another job where knowing this stupid stuff would ever pay off.
You should write a book.
Maybe. Right now, I'm focusing on headlines for the Tribune.
Okay.
I can't.
Let's get through the headlines, then maybe you could write down a page.
All right, maybe. So tell me the name of that show again, Wendy, so I remember it.
Was it
Getting It Together or something like that?
I just moved on. You got to write things down.
Getting Together.
It was a very 70s vibed show.
So you can remember what happened 30 years ago, but
you can't
remember what happened five seconds ago. That's not a good sign.
No, that's a horrible sign.
Getting Together was the name.
Getting Together.
1971. It aired from September of 71 to January of 72.
Yeah, it was a quick death for that show. And that's when Bobby Sherman was at his absolute most popular. So you would think, what a great time to capitalize on this, but it just didn't play.
But you're coming off of the Partridge Family, where Keith really was he was the new Bobby Sherman.
Yeah,
he was the new heartthrob.
Without a doubt.
So as people were like going gaga over Keith Partridge,
yes,
then Bobby Sherman comes on, it's like,
we already have a guy like this. You were a reader of Tiger Beat magazine, 16.
Oh, big time.
Yeah. Kim, you were too.
Posters.
Who were the guys in those magazines that you just swooned over? Who did you see?
Scott Baio?
Yeah.
Not me. I was more Tony DeFranco and the DeFranco family.
Oh, sure.
He was gorgeous.
Donny Osmond was a big one, yeah.
I wrote him a love letter.
Even
my mom
Jimmy,
wouldn't give me a stamp.
Jimmy Osmond
was pretty cute, too.
Yeah, yeah. If you liked Scott Baio, you would have loved my brother in high school. He was a dead ringer
like
for
him?
Scott. Just exactly like
I'm
him.
Awestruck at you saying that.
He looked exactly like Scott Baio.
He did.
It was
too bad we didn't meet earlier.
No.
You could have been in-laws.
Yeah. Yep.
That was just a weird thing to say, but he did look like him. I saw a picture.
Have I shown you?
Yes. It's dead on.
You can't tell the difference.
He doesn't look like him now.
Not anymore.
Who else? Keith, you know.
From Tiger Beat?
Yeah. I like Danny Bonaducci too, there, I'll admit it.
But Danny wasn't like a poster boy. Like, he was in Tiger Beat sometimes when they would show a Partridge Family type article.
He wasn't like.
But there were guys that were poster boy, they were like cover kids on there.
I don't know who else there was. There was Tony DeFranco, Donny Osmond. Scott Baio was not my type.
No. He wouldn't be my type now, but then back then I thought he was pretty cute.
His hair wasn't as cool as David Cassidy's.
No.
Was
Sean
Mike,
Cassidy?
Sean Cassidy was in there
his.
Sometimes. Yeah. Michael Gray, do you know who that is?
Yes.
He was.
Blue eyes.
Yeah.
Looked like a lion. He looked cat-like.
He was very
Michael
cat-like.
Gray.
Michael Gray was on a show with Brian Keith called The Little People about a doctor in Hawaii. He was also in Shazam.
I remember Shazam. He was
Billy Batson.
Don't look at what he looks like now.
In the Shazam.
Scary.
Oh, no, really? Oh, I hope he's not, because he was a really good-looking guy, and I always
think... Too much work done, or the opposite?
Can't tell. But he was really attractive.
Yeah, Wendy just showed me a picture of him.
I'll come around.
If you knew him in his heartthrob days, you go, well, that can't be the same guy, but that's the same guy, isn't it?
Yeah, that's him.
No.
This is him now, but...
But he had a mane of black hair.
He was a babe.
Totally
Billy Batson.
Yeah.
TV's Shazam. He was a babe.
Yeah.
All right. He was a babe.
Yeah.
It's all
so
about the
he
hair.
Was in magazines. The Keene Brothers.
Like John Travolta, too.
John Travolta was in those magazines.
Yeah. The Keene Brothers.
Do you remember them?
Yes.
They were musicians, and they had a summer replacement show.
Where are
show.
They now?
Yeah, I don't know where the Keene Brothers are.
I got to find them.
But
Jasmine,
they were...
these are the people we're going to have you try and find.
Keene Brothers, where are you?
Do you remember them, Kim?
The search continues.
No.
They were, one was a drummer and one was a guitar player. And they had a summer replacement show one year. The Hudson Brothers were in Tiger Beat in 16 quite a bit. You'd see Bill Mark and Brett Hudson. Is this the Keene Brothers?
When
Get ready to
summer.
Fall in love, Kim. Get ready. That's not terrible.
One plate is sitting at a baby grand. One's got a drum kit. And they're cute.
Yeah.
I do remember them. Why do you remember them? You should have been worrying about Susan Day. Why were you into the Keene Brothers?
Because here's what I remember.
God.
My mom would
Marcia
take us,
Brady.
My mom would take us shopping. to Dominic's or Jewel.
Corvettes, maybe.
And then they had a magazine section. So there'd be all these magazines that would be devoted to these guys, you know, Tiger Beat magazine, 16 magazine stuff. And I would say to the guy who worked there at Dominic's or Jewel, why don't you have magazines for guys like me? And he'd go, what do you mean? And I'd go, that have pretty girls in them. I don't want to look at Bobby Sherman or Greg Brady. I want to look at pretty girls.
Pulls the Playboy out from under the counter.
Meet me in the back, kid. I got something for you. But he would go, I don't know. I'll talk to the manager about it. But he didn't talk to the manager about it. But I just thought there should be magazines for us, for guys, with the girls that
so
we
idolize.
So your
mom would just drop you off at the magazine rack and come back and get you?
Shopping would take about 40 minutes. So we would just go, we'll be by the magazines or by the toy section. You know, and it's not very vast. Right. It's just Jewel or Dominic's. Yeah.
Silly Putty and some Hoppity Hop or something, maybe,
there
if
was
you're lucky.
Very little. It was the doodle guy that you can give him a mustache and a beard.
The magnetic guy?
That guy.
It was
yes and no books.
That kind of thing.
Tom and John Keane, and you want to hear something crazy?
Oh, is it bad news?
No.
Oh, okay.
They are about our age.
Oh, they'd be exactly our
age. They're 54, a little younger.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I knew they were that.
I didn't. I feel like, wow.
They had a lot of blonde hair, I remember.
Yeah. Again, that same bang thing that Peter Tork sort of, a little more shaggy.
Yeah.
But, yes, bangs.
So let me also add to the list of guys that would be in Tiger Beat.
Which guys, we should be remembering, right. Not him.
The brothers from Nelson.
Oh, I loved Gunner and...
Matthew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hubba.
Hubba and Hubba Nelson. Those guys had a lot of hair.
Yeah, they did.
And they were very skinny. Very skinny. I worry about that, especially Gunner. Too thin.
Gunner Nelson... 51? Really?
Younger than us.
Oh, yeah, but still, same ballpark.
Right.
Like, back then, I don't know why, I guess I was that young.
You were 51 when you were a kid?
But when, like, I am remembering them...
Being older than us?
I don't know. I can't believe that they're... No, I thought they were younger.
Oh, well, they're younger than us, but you thought they would be younger overall, like in their 40s maybe or something,
yes.
Huh? Yeah.
Oh, they cut their hair. Gunner cut his hair. I don't know about Matthew.
Who are we leaving off? There's other Tiger Beat poster boys that we must be leaving off.
Yeah. You know, I was a big soap opera watcher back then, so...
But they had their own the magazines
that
were
digest.
By the counter.
If I was at the magazine rack, I would have been
Macchio.
Ralph Macchio?
Ralph Macchio was also...
Yeah.
And who's... they have Kirk Cameron...
Oh, right. Well, that's a
That was a little later.
A little later, yeah.
Yeah.
Is Ralph Macchio, was he the...
Karate Kid.
Karate Kid, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But at that time, like, all right, so before he was in Karate Kid, he was on Eight is Enough for a little while.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, he was their cousin on Eight is Enough.
Older brother probably was in Tiger
Grant
Beat.
Goodies.
Yeah.
Yeah, Willie Ames, for sure.
Yeah, Willie Ames, definitely. And Parker Stevenson.
Parker Stevenson would have been, because of the Hardy Boys.
Yeah.
Right.
They had a girl version of Tiger Beat.
They did?
Well, with like some of the girl heartthrobs.
How come I was not aware of this? I would have subscribed to that.
I think you better go to Jewel and complain right now. Your mom took you to the wrong grocery store.
Where's Alex from 1972? Because I got to tell him something.
Oh, I'm trying to look.
If he's still there. Randall Mantooth.
Yeah, from Emergency.
From Emergency.
Oh, yeah, I kind of remember him.
Tony DeFranco. Michael Ontkean.
Michael Ontkean from the Rookies.
Who also went on to be in Twin
Slap
Peaks.
Slapshot. Yeah. He was a good-looking guy.
Nino DeFranco was Tony's brother. Rick Springfield. We forgot him.
He
was a little later, wasn't he? Around 70-ish.
He was popular when I was in high school.
Leif Garrett, guys.
Leif Garrett, for sure.
Van Patten, the blonde Van Patten.
Vince Van Patten.
Who inspired you. This is why Bill is so weird.
I play tennis because of Vince Van Patten.
And tell her why.
Because on an episode of Apple's Way, Vince Van Patten, a regular on the show, played tennis with Farrah Fawcett. And I loved Farrah Fawcett. And I went, if I played tennis, I could play tennis with Farrah Fawcett. Started playing tennis that day.
Did you ever get the match with Farrah?
No, I never did.
Sorry.
That's my biggest regret. But I told Vince Van Patten that story, and he cried. He wept.
You are so weird.
Made him cry.
Maybe you'll get that tennis game with her in heaven.
Maybe. Maybe.
Yeah, the Hudson brothers. Tony Orlando, to an extent.
Oh, but he was older.
That one's a slide, because he was older.
He's on the cover here.
Hmm.
What year?
74-ish.
All right. I don't think of him as a heartthrob so much as just a singer.
A singer,
but
right.
maybe.
That's about all I can figure out.
What about
here.
The guys from SWAT?
No.
Robert Urich isn't in there?
No, Vince Van Patten was a babe.
Yeah, he's a handsome guy. He still is.
God.
He did. Remember those commercials for years for the casino that's in Milwaukee?
Potawatomi?
Yes.
He did?
He did all those commercials where he's at the blackjack table and his tie's undone.
Oh, that's him?
That's Vince Van Patten.
Oh.
Yeah. That's why we had him on when I was at WLS, because they were a sponsor and he was in town, so they brought him in. Really nice guy.
Who are the Haywoods?
What's he doing now other than Potawatomi commercials?
I don't know that he's doing anything anymore. He's married to an actress. He's been married to a couple of actresses.
He was gorgeous.
Yeah.
I got to just read you these headlines. This is Tiger Beat, like 74-ish. Donnie, this is what Donnie says. I need to have fun, too.
Mm.
Here's what Robert Redford says. What kind of girl wants him? I'm sorry, it just says Robert Redford, colon. What kind of girl wants him? Tony's ticklish. Find out where. That would be Tony DeFranco.
Hmm.
Do you see why we read these?
Right.
Vincent, old-fashioned about love. And there's this awesome picture of Vince Van Patten. And then it says, Haywoods, a long road to success. Randy and Kev, true friends.
Those are the Haywoods? I don't think I remember them.
And then plus Michael Gray.
Yeah, that's the guy I mentioned earlier.
Happy Days. So that was, I guess Potsy.
Not Ralph Malph, though. You think?
No, but we got to go. You're bringing me back. Alan meets his bride.
Alan of the Osmonds, probably.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
We get a lot of, God.
A lot of heartthrobs back then, Wendy.
Yeah, but you like the Keene brothers.
Yes.
I can't believe you remember
those.
I have
tickets to go see them on Wednesday.
They're
if you
not
want to
performing
come with me.
Anymore, believe right. me, I checked.
All right.
Although their music is on Spotify.
Yes. As well. Kim, thanks for hanging out. We'll close things off next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, tomorrow is Friday. Still sad about Peter Tork.
Yes.
Dead at the age of 77.
Will you be going to sit Shiva at the Tork house?
No. Was he Jewish?
No. But you could still show
I'm
some
not
respect.
Jew- I don't know
Come
how
on.
To sit Shiva.
Come on.
Is that what it's called?
Can you sit in a Chevy?
Yes.
Do that then. See if that makes you feel better.
All right, I'm gonna go try and find the Keene brother so I can tell him you had a crush on him when you were younger.
Oh, don't. That's not nice.
You know what? Thanks to you, I completely forgot about them. You have just rekindled an old flame.
Do you remember there was a band for a while? Not the Keene brothers, but there was a band called Keene.
Yes.
And when I heard them, I went, the brothers are back. The Keene brothers are back. Somewhere Only We Know, is that their song? Was that their big hit?
But it turns out
there was no affiliation whatsoever.
Somewhere Only We Know, yes.
Yeah.
I don't remember them at all.
Yep. You got to watch my VH1 specials, Wendy. You'd be very impressed. All right, that's it. We've done all the damage we could possibly do. Try us again tomorrow for more fun and hijinks. Bye, Wendy.
Thank you, Bill.